Since we're doing home groups today, I want to take you out of the book of Romans today to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. There you're going to discover, if you had any kind of thought that Paul's life and ministry was all roses and no thorns, you're going to learn pretty quickly that it was not. In fact, Paul suffered a great deal in his ministry, and at this point in his life and in his ministry, some within the church, even those especially in the Corinthian church, began to question his call and his authority as an apostle. And so in the 11th chapter, Paul's taking a long time to say, I have been called of God as an apostle, and this is what he's done for me, and this is what I now do as I serve in these churches. As he lists his qualifications, I guess you could say, we find things that are here that sound like he's presenting us with a resume at the beginning. He's going to say this, we'll get into it in a minute. He's going to say, I'm a Hebrew, I'm a Jew, I'm of a specific tribe, I'm of a particular group. But then his list is going to turn away from what sounds like a resume into what really sounds almost like an obituary. You want to read it with me? Stay with me if you will. We're in 2 Corinthians today, chapter number 11. We're going to pick up our reading today in verse number 22. Paul asked this question, are they Hebrews? Well, so am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In laborers more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A day and a night I have been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. In perils of the Gentiles. In perils of the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness. In toil. In sleeplessness often. In hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. That's the verse that has captured my attention. Let's pray. Father, we bless you today and thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you for these that have come to a milestone in their life. Knowing that commencement may be the end of one thing, but it is essentially the beginning of something brand new. And so our prayers are for them today and for your will to be in their life. I turn my attention to our church, and to our church specifically as I read from this passage and recognize that I see myself in what Paul is saying. With that same concern for churches, be our concern for churches today. Give us your heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. Paul certainly has on display a pastor's heart because he gives to us a lengthy list of dire situations. In fact, any one of these things really could have killed Paul. And yet of the 20 things that he mentions, he continues to say, these are the things that I have suffered. And then comes to a point there in verse number 24, and he says, besides all this. You know what that tells me? It tells me that unlike we do on our resumes, he didn't list everything. He didn't tell the whole story. He just told a part of it. He gave us a fraction of his life to be able to share with us a minuscule part of these are the sufferings that I have had. And now besides all of this, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. I hope that you can identify with this passage today. But I really want you to know that I identify with this passage today. I want you to know that today this passage represents my concern for my church. I've not been through the things that Paul has been through, and I don't want to go through the things that Paul has been through. But I do know what comes upon me daily. And it is my deep concern for our church. I believe with all of my heart, however, that you share many of those concerns. And so I really want to talk to you today more than just simply my concerns. I want to talk to you today about our concerns for our church. If I'm following this passage simply as my guide, then number one, I would have to say that our concern for our church needs to be deep. It needs to be deep. Paul says, what comes upon me daily is my deep concern for all the churches. If you're familiar with the movie A Few Good Men, you'll recall the episode where Lieutenant Caffey is questioning Colonel Jessup on the stand. And Colonel Jessup makes a remark that Private Santiago's life might have been in danger. And Caffey says, grave danger? And so Jessup says, is there any other kind? When it comes to concern for the church, I would have to say, deep concern? Is there any other kind? If I'm going to have a concern for my church, it's going to be a deep concern for my church. This is not something shallow. It's not something that I give thought to simply on Sunday morning. This is a deep concern for our church that goes beyond attendance. It goes beyond anything that you see on a budget sheet. This is concern that goes down to the very depth of who I am. And I believe with all of my heart that you share many of these deep concerns with me. This is not something that we take lightly, nor should we. This is our church home. You are my church family. And because of that, I have a concern that is here, a concern that is indeed very deep. How do we know that Paul has a concern that is really deep? How do we know that Paul has a concern that is equally deep than what I have? How do we know that he's not just simply saying that he has a concern for the church, as we would imagine that there may be somebody who would say, well, I have a deep concern for my church, and not really mean it? I believe that's part of the reason why Paul lists those 20 things that are there. He goes through his different sufferings and says, this is proof. This is evidence of the concern that I have for our church. What do we suffer for our church? What is it that is so deeply concerning to you that you would sacrifice? There are a number of you who sacrifice a lot of time. There are a lot of you who sacrifice a lot of dollars. There are a lot of you who sacrifice investment in the lives of others, children especially. But then there's some of us who really don't sacrifice anything at all, do we? You know, if I really have to do a check mark on my own life, and I have to look and begin to list, like Paul does, I begin to list the sacrifices and the sufferings, I think I would really come to the end of my list and say, none of these things are really sacrifice. None of these things are really suffering. And at that point, you know that your concern is real. When you stop keeping score, you realize that your need, your concern, your heart for your church is just a part of who you are. It no longer becomes a competition between my church and another church. It no longer becomes a competition between my church family and another family. It no longer becomes a competition between a group of people here and a group of people in another club somewhere. My concern for my church is not shallow. It is deep. It's 365 days a year. It's 7 days a week. It's 52 weeks out of that year. And it's 24 hours out of every day. Our concern for our church ought to be deep. There's another word that you need to see in that verse. It's the word daily. And so I would add, this is my second one. Our concern for our church needs to be daily. We're not just the church when we're gathered together on Sunday morning. We're the church all the time. That 24/7, 365, that's us. We are Britt David all the time. There's not a time when you're not the church. And so every day we have concerns for our church. Every day there's somebody in our church who has need. Every day in our church there's somebody who's at the doctor. Every day there's somebody at our church who's at the mortuary. Every day in our church there's somebody who's simply at home all by themselves. Every day in our church there is somebody who puts up a good front and a good face and pretends like everything's all right when they desperately need their church family. Every day we're the church. I want you to notice something with me in that verse. He says, what comes upon me daily? There's a word that Paul uses there that really refers to more than a burden. We would say that's what he's talking about. Paul's just simply sharing with us his burden for the churches. Burden seems like such a sterile word. You know, it's one that gets overused. It's one that really doesn't necessarily mean what I want it to mean. And it certainly doesn't fit the context of what Paul says here. The word that he uses for what comes upon me is a word which referred to a hostile, violent group of rioters that have joined themselves together and gathered together for a primary cause, and that cause to bring down somebody else or a government. That's everyday life of what we see in the Middle East, isn't it? And yet Paul, right in the midst of the Middle East, says, this rioting band, that's what my burdens are like. That's what my issues are like. Every day I am bombarded by concerns for my church. Every day, wave after wave after wave after wave. There's something that eats at the heart of a person concerning their church family. My concern for this church has got to outlive Sunday morning. Every day. Every day. Number three, our concern for our church needs to be demonstrated. It needs to be demonstrated. It needs to be shown. It can't simply be mouthing words. It has to be something that shows up. For Paul, it shows up in the midst of his sufferings. For you, it will too. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, if you want to live godly, you will suffer persecution. He said, every good soldier of Christ must endure hardship. There will be some kind of hardship, some kind of suffering because of your commitment to this body of Christ. Listen, we love to go to Philippians chapter 3 and quote the verse in there where Paul shares with us the deepest desire of his heart. I think it's verse number 10. But we only share the first part, where I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection. Well, that's what we want to know, isn't it? I want to know Christ and I want to know the power of His resurrection. Well, finish the verse. Paul says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. Paul knows the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ. Paul was ultimately conformed to the image of the death of Christ. What do I suffer? If I'm not locked up in a prison for my faith, if I'm not shackled to another cross because of my faith, how do I demonstrate my concern for my church? Think you demonstrate your faithfulness? I mean, you demonstrate your concern by faithfulness? Faithfulness in every area of your life. I think that it's seen in service, in what you're doing. Do I mean that you have to be on a committee? Lord, deliver us. No, I hope not. No, they're suffering. Committees are necessary, and yes, somebody has to serve. But I'm not talking about that kind of service. I'm talking about serving somebody else. I mean serving somebody else when you get nothing else for it. No pat on the back. No thank you note. No mention in the bulletin. You just serve. It's concern for your church. Faithfulness, service, and I don't know a better way to say it than just simply to say all in. You're all in. I am all in. There are different parts of my life and different things that I do. I do stuff outside of church, by the way. But even when I'm doing those things, church is still my concern. If I have something else to do, guess what comes first on my schedule before ball games, before vacations, before going to the store, going out to eat, or doing whatever else, is my church. The end of your notes today, I've just kind of left blank. They're just lines that are in there. It's because you don't necessarily have to write these things down. You can if you want to. This is really for you. What are your concerns? What are your concerns that are deep? What are your concerns that are daily? What are your concerns that are demonstrated in your own life? These are my top five. I am concerned about our efforts. I'm concerned about our efforts and specifically our dependence upon God. We are busy. May has been incredibly busy as far as our church calendar goes. And June doesn't show any promise of slacking up. By the way, if you want to come help decorate this week, Bible school comes next week. I'm concerned about us being busy and not being holy. I am concerned about our efforts becoming a substitute for our relationship with God. I am concerned about our reliance upon our own ingenuity and creativity and ability, which we have bukus of, and not our sheer dependence upon God. He is the one who has to meet our needs. He has to be the one to meet our people needs, our financial needs, our other needs. I'm concerned that we move away from that, and it's only natural. The reinvention of our prayer ministry is one of the most important things that is long overdue. Secondly, I said these are my top five. They're not really in order. But number two, I'm concerned about our future. When I say I'm concerned about our future, what I mean specifically is our nursery, our children's department, our youth department, and our young adults. It doesn't take you long to look around and find an awful lot of gray hair. Or hair that's really gray, if you know what I mean. Or hair that just ain't there anymore. Listen, I wouldn't trade anything for any of our senior adults. Not one thing. Not only for what you have done in the past, but what you do now. And what you're going to do till Jesus comes. But I'm telling you, if the church is going to have a future, we better get some young folks in here. And if that means that I have to sacrifice my preferences, then so be it. And if you want me to let you in on a little hint, and I mean this as lovingly, as sweet as I can, if I have to sacrifice your preferences, then so be it. Amen or oh me. We have got to reach people with the gospel of Christ. I'm concerned. I'm concerned about our facilities, both their structure and their style. I'm concerned about a leaky gym roof. I'm concerned about flooding in the buildings. I'm concerned about carpet. I'm concerned about walls. I'm concerned about those things. I'm concerned about stairs, stairs everywhere, stairs. There's some structural issues that need to be handled. But there's also some stylish issues that need to be handled. At one time, everything we had was in style. And not much of it's right now. We've not been faithful in keeping up. And you want me to give you a good example? The most recent new thing that we did to try to update is our gathering room. We put in the welcome station. It's wonderful. That whole area out there sort of got a new paint job. It got a new little look to it. But it didn't get finished. Here's my concern, is that for the most part, we're satisfied. I love you. I do. I don't want you to hear anything different. But please listen to me. When I have things, projects that are unfinished, and I have styles that are out of date, it tells both guests and members alike that we are satisfied with the mediocre. And if I will put up with mediocrity in my settings, then I might put up with mediocrity in my service. Number four. I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned about you. Every day you're on my mind. Every day I think about you. Every day I pray for you. Every day, my daily deep burden is for you. I want every person in here to be a fully devoted, reproducing disciple of Christ. The highlight of my life in ministry is when I begin to see you make progress. When I see you growing in your faith. It didn't take me long to look out there and I see the years. You know, in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men, I see you growing up right in front of me. I want this Bible to be more than a book that's your church book that you have to look for on Sunday mornings. I want it to be your life book. That this becomes your rule of faith and of practice in every area of your life, and that it's with you both in your eyes, in your mind, on your heart, and in your life every single day. So I want to teach it in such a way that it's understandable and that it's profitable. Number five, I'm concerned about the glory of God. I am. Scariest verses in all of the Bible for me. One is in 2 Samuel, where a woman, or 1 Samuel, where a woman names her child Ichabod because she says the glory has departed from Israel. So, well, what would that look like? Here's the scary part. It might not look any different. The scariest verse in all the Bible to me is in the story of Samson, where after all of the times that Delilah has tried to trick him and he's given her some kind of lie, and every time she's tied him up and she's done all these different things and he breaks loose and, you know, it goes at it with those Philistines. He finally tells her the secret. She cuts his hair, which is not about his hair, is it? It's about his promise and his vow that he made before God. And the Bible says that the Philistines came in and he said, I will jump up and go after them as at other times. And then the Bible adds this, but he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. What a scary thought for me to think that we're busy about our calendar and God's not in it. A horrendous thought to me is that I stand before you and preach and God not be in it. I'm concerned about the glory of God, and my biggest concern is that I'm the one that's in the way. I'm concerned. Would you add to that list? Would you put things on that list that I haven't even thought of before? What are your deep, daily concerns about Britt David? It's a good question. Here's a better one. What are you going to do about it? The time to do something about it starts now. Bow your head, close your eyes. Father, I believe with all of my heart that all across this building are people who do indeed share a deep daily concern for our church. I know that you put this church here. Visionary people long ago saw the need for a church right here on this corner. The traffic patterns sure have changed, but the need is still the same. We hear it and we see it every week as we go out in grow teams and we meet with people right here in our own neighborhood. We know that people need you. We know that you have placed us here for this very reason. Mordecai told Esther, who knows, but that you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Father, I don't believe that there's ever been a better time for us to be alive. A better time for us to minister in a world that is dark and needy, that just simply needs you. Father, I'm not going to ask you today to relieve the burden of any person who's in here. Instead, Father, today I would ask you to take those burdens and change them into actions so that we might see your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Bless us today in Jesus' name. Amen.